Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Imagine waking up to a world that's as clear as your dreams. With Zeiss Smile technology, this is your reality. At Fichte Endel and Elmer Eye Care, our mission is your vision. Conducted by a team of expert surgeons leveraging leading-edge technology, our procedure is safeguarded, swift, and tailored to your eye care needs. Say goodbye to the limits of glasses or contacts. Embrace a world where your vision keeps pace with your life's aspirations. Contact us today at 800-309-2020 or visit us online at Fichte.com. At Fichte Endel and Elmer Eye Care, we are focused on you.
Code of conduct.
Heavy is the head that wears the crown. I put in extra work that just can't be found.
Work.
I took the sword out the stone, wasn't a thing.
Dang.
Look me in my eyes, cause I'm a king.
I'm a king.
Look me in my eyes, cause I'm a king.
Yeah. King.
God made me punch in inaccurate numbers.
Yeah.
My castle won't crumble.
Nah.
What I tackle will fumble.
Yeah.
I've been a leader when they ain't see it, but now my feet
it's up.
According to me, royalty didn't end with King Tut.
Nah.
Crown on my head, clouds is at my legs.
Yeah.
Big says sky is the limit. I look down on the ledge. I push the bar like I'm opening a cell. Hands in my cookie jar, you won't come out with a single nail.
You
I need all of mine. The weight of my shoulders won't fit on a scale. What's a king to a giant?
What?
Well, Goliath fell. Even if we playing chess, dog, this king can't be checked. I make all my moves on the board, I invented my steps.
Uh-huh.
I'm a king, the blood of a ruler, I feel like Mansa Musa.
Mansa Musa.
Make your squad disappear like landing by the Bermuda. Triangle, look at it from my angle. I'm a king, the closest thing to being one of God's angels.
Yeah. I'm a king.
Heavy is the head that wears the
crown.
I put in extra work that just can't be found.
Work.
I took the sword out the stone, wasn't a thing.
Dang.
Look me in my eyes, cause I'm a king.
I'm a king.
Look me in my eyes, cause I'm a king.
King.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. This is the Code of Conduct with the King podcast. I am your host, Jay Spencer King, and it is Victory Tuesday, so I'm excited to be doing this because it seems like, for the most part, lately when we've been doing these doggone shows, I've been pissed off for every reason other than, I've just been pissed off. This week, I'm gonna do something different. I haven't really had too many guests as of late because I've been just trying to kind of review the game on my own and talk about it a little bit, and then just move on with the rest of the week because we have so much content over at Buffalo Rumblings that I'm involved with, everything from pregame rumblings to Hump Day Hotline and so on. So I have so many different things that I try to kind of just focus on reviewing the game on Code of Conduct and then everything else I can do. This week, I got somebody I love joining me to talk about the Bills. One of my favorite people, my cousin, everybody. Well, if you've listened to the show, you've heard him before, but you've also seen us kind of have some fun and clown around on the timeline. I got my cousin John joining me, or Banks, or everybody from the LA game last season, the week one game, knows him as Peanut because of an allergy. But I got my mans joining me. What's going on, Banks?
What's up, man? You had to go there immediately.
Well, you know what? Sarah sent me the screenshot yesterday. I guess y'all had a talk on Twitter or something, and she was like, yeah, we still call you Peanut. It's on you. So we should probably tell that story. Like, first of all, I need you to really, like, you have a peanut allergy.
I do.
Like, you're allergic to peanuts, and
I
you
am.
Just you left your EpiPen. You chose to just eat something that was made with peanuts. You just didn't care. So yeah, let's talk about it in a second.
I mean, you know, I'm in my 30s. If I needed an EpiPen at this point, that's on me. You know, so.
Well, let's talk about it, man. You came over yesterday. We had a good time. We got a chance to watch the Bills and Chiefs game together. And I enjoyed it, obviously. We always enjoy it when we get together. We drink and smoke and drink, and we have a day. But before we get into, like, details, just overall, you know, thoughts about the game. Like, so just when you woke up this morning and you were like, man, the Bills beat the Chiefs 20-17 yesterday. What do you feel?
I feel I feel good. I mean, 20-17, the scoring, we scored early and we kind of slowed down. But this is the defending Super Bowl champions. Pat Mahomes and the Chiefs and those guys, like, they've been doing it. So to get a dub in any way is like, it's a big deal. So I was happy. There's a little bit, we'll talk about it, but overall, it's a dub, man. Enter a mile. So
Yeah, it's a. I think that's the part for me. It's like it's a dub. Like we had to win probably four out of the last five games, and you didn't want that one loss to come in the first week that you're trying to go on this run. So like you want to build up some momentum. I think for me, I felt good about the fact that we didn't allow Patrick Mahomes to look like Patrick Mahomes. You get what I'm saying? Like
that
I
is
feel like every
true.
time the Bills play him, he always does those Patrick Mahomes things, and Travis Kelce did kill us, but not to the effect that he normally does. So I was happy with that. There was a couple things I didn't like. So I mean, let's talk about it. Did you have anything that just off the rip? Like, was there anything that you looked at and you're like, man, the Bills really need to fix this, especially if we're talking about still trying to make the playoffs after these next four games?
I mean, we'll start with interior run defense. I think that's been a problem for years, honestly. Very underrated that we don't talk about a lot or enough. Our punt coverage is not good. We're pretty bad at covering punts. We always allow like a timely big return. I remember a few weeks ago, obviously it cost us. And then, end of half, end of games, we just let teams bully us. Our line saved us, our front end saved us. Ed Oliver getting his hand on a ball on that last drive. The defensive front was getting their hands up, which is a big deal. But if they weren't, we were getting cooked downfield, man. And it's gotta get fixed to go on any kind of a run. Not just winning, but we got Dallas next week. And those boys are putting up points in the passing game, right? So we just gotta figure something out on that back end, though.
Yeah, the Cowboys have scored 40 points in three of their last four or three of their last five games. And then the two games that they didn't score 40, they've scored over 31. So they've been balling, man. Like the Dallas Cowboys offense is crazy. And also for the record, I know you weren't saying that for this, but for the record, if you listen to the Code of Conduct, I talk a hell of a lot about how special teams has been trash since the beginning of the season, and it seems like a lot of people ignore it. And that was one of the things I still wanted to bring up again, because it's like when I look at overall the game, so all three phases, offense, defense, and special teams, there are a lot of games that we've looked at this season where I'm like, oh, the defense held their own. The defense did their job. Then there's other guy games where I'm like, the offense did their job. One of the things that I feel like Bills fans got spoiled with is kind of always winning on special teams. Like, so, because it seems like, in years past, like the last 3 or 4 years or so, maybe not with punt returns because we had Isaiah McKenzie back there and he's just not good at it. But prior to Isaiah McKenzie, it seems like we always won the field position battle because of Andre Roberts. And it seemed like even with our punting situation, we had good directional punts, and we had, like we just always were able to do things that made sense on special teams, and we won that phase. So really, if you win on defense, you probably will win the game, or if you win on offense, you'll probably win the game. So you don't have to always win all three, but if you win two phases, pretty, if you win those two phases, typically you'll win the game. What's been happening is the Bills haven't been winning special teams. So when you just simplify it down to offense and defense, when the offense doesn't score points in the first three quarters and then try to get Josh Allen in the fourth to be Superman, you're losing on offense, losing on special teams. That's not how you win a game. Or when the fourth quarter comes in a lot of these games, like the Eagles, or even last night, and we're going to talk about this because it bothers me. But the Eagles game, the Broncos, I can probably name a few others, the Jets game, week one, and a couple others. The defense seems to. They'll kind of like take their feet off the gas, and then they'll allow teams to come back and win. And so, for instance, let's talk about it right now. Last night, the freaking fourth quarter, had it not been, and I know some people are going to say, Spence, we won. You should be optimistic right now. You should sound good. You should be happy. Under 2 minutes to go, the Chiefs are driving. Patrick Mahomes throws it to Travis Kelce. He hits this lateral,
throws a dime.
Runs it in for a touchdown.
It was a dart.
It was, and it was an amazing play. They scored. Really, more than likely, they would have won the game because the Bills in the second half, the offense just wasn't doing it like that. So more than likely, we probably would have lost the game with that. Why is nobody talking about how Sean McDermott's defense again crapped a bed? Like, we if it wasn't for that call, we would have lost that game.
Yeah, because that's a big thing too, man. And I was on Twitter a little bit about it earlier, you know, and it's just not worth the argument. But it wasn't like they called a hold. It's not like they called an offensive pass interference. It was kind of a ticky-tack offsides, to be honest with you. Like, was he offsides? Yeah, absolutely. Was it a good call? It was the right call because he was offsides. It did not impact the play at all. I don't want to take that away from Josh. I think Josh, you know, with Josh, anything is possible. But I don't know that we would have walked out of that with a win if Kadarius Toney wasn't, you know, dumb.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
And for the record, you know, I agree with you. I believe in Josh Allen. I say it every week, how much I love him, whether we win or lose. Yesterday, he made some incredible plays, man. Like, I mean, the one where he's falling out of bounds and gets it. What was that? To Latavius Murray?
Yeah, Latavius Murray.
And then there was another play that, look, Josh is incredible. And I think, so at this point, it's almost, I think that we've gotten so used to him being incredible that some stuff just doesn't seem as incredible anymore, but it absolutely is, man. Like, what was one of your favorite moments yesterday from Josh, or even if it's not necessarily a moment, what was your favorite part about his game?
Honestly, it was the rushing touchdown. When he took that quarterback draw into the end zone, he was contacted at the line of scrimmage. It kind of blows my mind that we would ever not get a third or fourth and one. I don't know why we're not just giving it to Josh every time, but he made contact and he kept those legs turning. If you watch that replay, his legs are moving as hard as anybody else. He wanted that score. And you know, that was a big deal for me, man. Like, that was, I think that, you know, I feel like if we scored any other way, we don't have the same kind of momentum, honestly.
No, I'm with you. And I guess for me, I guess I'm excited just because now you see design calls for Josh to run. Like, it's not just anymore where it has to break down. And he kind of, that's how the season started. Now that Joe Brady has taken over the play call, and it's like, first quarter, we saw like three runs. It was like the one up the middle, and we saw, you know, so we're seeing it again. And I agree with you. I think the momentum from when Josh is on is different versus when, you know, if he threw a touchdown to Gabe and Gabe had that energy, or if you would have handed the ball off to, we don't even have to talk about Gabe right now.
We're going to talk about Gabe.
But I was more so just saying, if anybody else would have scored, I don't think the team would have reacted the same way. I think when Josh Allen is on, I think the rest of the team kind of feeds off of that, and it's just a different team when Josh is on fire. So now I agree with you, man. But let's talk about Gabe. I take pleasure in discussing Gabriel Davis.
You bring up the Latavius Murray catch on the sideline, and then remember he caught it. And he fumbled, and then the ball went out of bounds, okay? Mm-hmm. The play before that, Gabe Davis dropped it. I think he had two drops yesterday. No catches, two drops. That play.
Two targets. So if he had two drops on two go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
go ahead.
No, that's good. Good for Josh looking somewhere else, right? Like, that's But it's I rewatched the game too, and there were just like when Latavius Murray fumbled, Gabe Davis had his hands on the ball, and somehow a Chiefs player was able to knock it out of bounds. On the Hail Mary to end the half when they threw the ball up and ball got batted and it almost hit, Khalil Shakir was in the area. Gabe Davis, the biggest dude down there, didn't jump. He didn't leave his feet. He didn't attack the ball. He didn't try to, and he was in front of the defenders. The player that got the closest to it was Stephon Diggs, who was adjacent to the DB. And it's just, there was no effort for, you know, he doesn't run his routes hard.
But see, this is when people yell at me. They get upset with me when I come on the pod or when I write an article and I'm critical of him. But the thing is, you go and look at that Eagles game, and yeah, he goes off. You have 100 plus yards. What do you have? I didn't even look it up before this because I didn't think we were going to talk about it. But Gabe Davis had a crazy game against the Eagles. And then you come back after the bye week, and then you have zero receptions. He had zero receptions against the Bengals. He had zero receptions against the Chiefs. So is this what's going to happen in the biggest games of the year? You're not going to show up at all?
Here's the problem with Gabe Davis. You've got 3 catches on 3 targets, 6 catches on 8 targets. Then you have 1 catch on 5 targets. Then you have 9 catches. Then you have none. He's got 3 games with 0 catches. You can't do that as a number 2. You can't. It's it's tough to win that way. And you could see it. You could see it yesterday with the way they were trying to, you know, get creative to get Steph the ball.
It's 12 games in the season so far. We've played 13 now. We've played 13 games. Yeah. In 13 games, he as a wide receiver 2, he has had under 35 yards receiving. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times in a 12-game season so far.
13.
Over
10% of the time, he's got less. You can't do that, man. And you can see the way that teams are looking at Gabe Davis as not a number 2 and just putting an extra guy over the top of Diggs. And now, you know, we were trying to get creative. What I loved about it yesterday was, you know, our commitment to running the ball early on first downs. I think that's a big deal, going forward to get other guys involved. But we got to get other guys involved because Gabe ain't it, bro. He's just not it.
So what are your expectations for next season? Do you want him back? He's going to get paid. He's going to get paid just based off of the Kansas City game last year or 2 years ago in, no, not 2 years ago. What was that? 13 seconds game. He'll get it from that. You know, just from that game alone. Then the Steelers game last season. He had 151 yards receiving on like 4 receptions or something. 3 touchdowns. Something crazy. So, again, he has a couple games like that. And he'll get paid. And he'll end up doing like the Peerless Price thing. I think he'll go somewhere where they'll try to make him a number 1 wide receiver. And he's not. And I hate that for him. The best situation for Gabe, whether it's Buffalo or anywhere, is a place where he can be a number. And when I say a number 3, it's not a shot at him. You're an NFL starter. It doesn't mean that you're a bad player. Cole Beasley was never looked at as a number 1 wide receiver, but he is looked at as one of the GOATs when it comes to slot play. When you talk about slot wide receiver play, you can't talk about it without referencing Cole Beasley when you're talking about perfection. You can't do it. Make Gabe a number 3 receiver that's job is to stretch the field when you have a legitimate 1 and a legitimate 2. Gabe could he could be the GOAT of threes. He could do that.
He really could. And you're right. And it's, you know, my problem with Gabe is more the drops than anything else. Like he's got a real bad case of the drops, man. And it's tough because when the route concept gets open, you know, you almost, do you throw it to him? You know what I'm saying? Like, do you trust throwing it to him? And that's not something you should have to think about. You know what I'm saying? So I dig it though. Give him a number 3 role somewhere. Give him a number 3 role here. We just gotta We have to stop acting like he's a number two. When I say we, I mean the Bills coaching staff. They got to stop acting like he's a number two, and get a number two for him. So,
well, I like what I've seen out of Shakir. He didn't have a big game yesterday either. He had one catch for 12 yards, but nobody's saying he's a wide receiver too. So I don't have the same expectations out of Shakir. So yeah, I'm not upset that he had 12 yards yesterday. You know why? Because for the rest of the season, a guy that we really didn't even expect too much production from, against the Eagles, he had 47 yards. Against the Jets, he had 115 yards. You know, against Cincinnati, he had 57 yards and four receptions in the game when Gabriel Davis didn't have any. Now, he gets a game ball for blocking. Oh my God, we love him for blocking. Okay. So there are other receivers in the NFL who catch footballs and block?
I have been a Khalil Shakir believer. I believe that he is, I believe that he could be a number two. I really do. I mean, I like him.
He was filthy in Boise State. He was filthy.
I know. He was so good. Let's get to the other side of the ball, man, because I also watched your favorite player, Von Miller.
Well, hold on. Before we do that, let's hear a word from our sponsor and we'll get right to the defense. Hey, football fans, the season is here. So you know that means family, football, and food. But for the NFL's best fan base, it can't be just any food. Bills Mafia only eats the best during the season. And the best is Picasso's Pizza. With four great locations in Western New York, it's so easy to treat yourself to the most flavorful pizza on game day. Picasso's. We are Buffalo Pizza, shipping local and nationwide. Order online at picassospizza.net. All right, so let's talk about it. So defensively, okay, so there were some good things. There was a lot of good things. The Buffalo Bills won, so let's start there. That's a good thing. I think in the first half, the first quarter especially, we confused Patrick Mahomes in ways that I haven't seen teams really confuse him much or often. I think I was very happy with the defensive line play. I know we gave up that one run in the first quarter. Was it Tony that had the handoff in the first quarter?
Kadarius Tony took a handoff on the first,
So, I mean, I know we gave up a big run there and a couple other plays that kind of seemed like, dang, man. But on one hand, I look at it like, yo, this is Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. So they're going to make plays. The defense did a good job. Here's my couple of problems, and then we're going to praise them after your, you know, after you say what you're going to say, then we'll praise them. Because, again, I don't want this to sound like a negative episode, man. I'm happy. The Bills won.
Oh, yeah.
They did what they had to do. You know what I mean? But
yeah.
I'm also not going to sit here and act like the game was perfect. It wasn't. Von Miller, man, I wrote in my article today about opening odds for the Bills and the Cowboys game. Again, everybody's probably tired of the domestic violence conversation now, right? So, look, I don't even want to touch on that. Do I believe that he did it? Who cares? Do I think that he's a dirtbag? Who cares? Like, who cares, right? Let's talk football. You want to talk football? My problem is that Von Miller is making an insane amount of money. He has zero sacks on the season. Yesterday, he had one assisted tackle. Now, okay, he's a defensive lineman, Spence. His job is to rush the quarterback and help in the run game. Okay, they ran the ball. Why didn't he get attacked? Why didn't he get... Von.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
So this is not about the domestic violence stuff.
I wasn't even gonna go there.
Well, I know you weren't. I'm saying it for the listeners because it's like from the beginning of the season, I've been saying I don't want to see Von come back until after Thanksgiving. And everybody said, nope, Spence, he said he's ready. He said he's ready to go. He should be back as soon as he's okay. Then they activated him after week four. And nothing. We're not getting anything. So you mean to tell me you would rather put, how many sacks does Shaq Lawson have this year?
More than
you would rather. Right. That's the point. That's the point. Like, you would rather pay, and I get it. We can't get out of the contract, but he's not producing. And right now, and you know what? No, he doesn't have any sex this year. I'm talking about
Shaq.
No, he has one. He has one. He has more than Vaughn. But anyway, we're paying a ton of money for the same amount of production I'm giving the Bills. Think about it. I have the same amount of sacks that Von Miller has this season.
That's bad. That's a bad stat for Von Miller. Not as great for you. That's wonderful for you. I will buy your jersey. Yo,
I'm killing. I'm killing it, bro. I need that contract like Von. I'm killing it.
Honestly, go back and watch the tape, man. I watched. It got to a point where I was only watching Von Miller, and it's like, it's like there's just no effort from him. It's like he got bit. He's in that category of people that got the bag and turned it off. You know what I'm saying? And it's I would take Groot. I think Greg Russo's, AJ Epinesa played a great game. I don't think that we need, if we're going to get a star caliber player, we need star caliber talent. Otherwise, have the same blue collar defensive front that we've always had, where guys just go in there and do their jobs and get the job done. Von Miller's there for looks at this point, man, because he's not producing at all. And it's frustrating to watch the amount of money on the field that could have gone to other positions of need or could have gone to the offensive side of the ball that were invested in, tied with Jay Spence, the king, in sacks for the season. You know, that's a problem.
It is a problem. And, because I suck, dog. I ain't out here playing football. So you shouldn't be tied with me in any metric at all. And for you to be Von, now I will I'll challenge you on the one thing where you said after he got the bag, he kind of disappeared. I'll debate you on that, because I think, the first year before the injury, if you go back to last year's Kansas City game, he's the reason we won. You know what I mean? Like he put pressure on Mahomes at the end of the game, forced the interception to Teron Johnson. The Bills walk off with an interception to win the game. Prior to him being injured last year, the Buffalo Bills was leading the league in getting to the quarterback rushing only four guys. Von was doing it. I just think that the injury really messed him up. And I think maybe, and I don't want to overthink or go too deep into stuff, but I think some off-field things could also potentially have an impact on the way people show up for work every day. If things ain't right in some ways in areas of your life, you can be stressed at work. I firsthand can tell you that happens. So I'm pretty sure the same thing happens when football players go to work and they have personal things going on in their lives as well. So I'll challenge you there. But as far as this season, I'm still agreeing with you, because it's like there's no production.
There isn't.
I don't think it's because of effort, though. Like I think the effort is there. I just think he's not ready, man. I really don't think he should be on the field.
Okay. He made a great play on their final, the Chiefs' final drive. I think it was the last play. He made a great play to get, to get pressure. Watch the 20 plays before that. Just watch the snaps. That's all. we'll reconvene on that. But watch the snaps. There were a good handful of times where he got love tapped by an offensive lineman and just stopped moving. Like he's just, just standing there. And I don't know if they had, it could have been schematically they had him playing spy, but I don't know why you would play spy from the outside. There was one play where he goes around the offensive line and he got behind Patrick Mahomes. Okay. And he stopped running after him, and Pat Mahomes pump faked and then looked around like he was going to throw again. And then threw, but Von Miller had stopped moving and never started moving again. You know what I'm saying? It's just, it's little stuff like that. Crazy. I get it. You can be stressed at work. It's just little plays like that. That's all. So,
all right. Well, like I said, though, we won, right? So it's a good day. We won. It's a good day. So now looking forward, we got the Cowboys. And like you mentioned earlier, offensively, they're insane. Like I think Dak Prescott gets a lot of hate that's not you know, it's not warranted. I think CD Lamb is a beast. I love Tony Pollard. I love their defense. They're hungry. They're they look for turnovers, like aggressively want you to turn the ball over. Like they're going for it every time. But because of that, they also give up big plays because they take those chances. So what's your if you're Sean McDermott, you know, what are you preaching to your coordinator on offense this week to say this needs to be our focal point? Good
job. A couple of things. Real quick, when Steve Smith said CeeDee Lamb was just a guy earlier this season, that flipped a switch, and he's been dope ever since. It's been fire to watch. And I hate the Cowboys. I think that a lot of it for Joe Brady and the offense is going to be the same thing that they did against the Chiefs, which is run the ball early and often, get James Cook involved. James Cook is everything that we want him to be. I love it. Get him involved early. And I know it sounds cliche, but you gotta keep him on. You gotta keep Dak in that offense on the sidelines. You have to hold the ball, and you gotta keep the ball, but then you have to score points at the end of drives. We had a lot of drives after the first, you know, after we went up 14-0, we stalled a bunch. You know, and it was a lot of that. And, you know, we gotta get points on the board. We gotta keep doing that and keep the ball. But, you know, I think it's a chance to leverage the play action and be aggressive. I don't know the dude's name offhand, leads the league in defensive touchdowns, has more touchdowns than a lot of receivers.
Oh, the pick six dude. Yeah. What's his name?
Pick six.
Yeah, go ahead. I'll look it up while you're.
That's his name. He also has gotten cooked. So I think that in the passing game we got to get Stephon Diggs involved.
Bland, you know, Deron Bland.
Yeah, Deron Bland. He's great. But we gotta get Stephon Diggs involved. And I don't know, man. Like, we've played the Cowboys a couple of times with Josh, and he has big games against him, you know. I think we're going to see a lot of Latavius Murray for chipping Micah Parsons' purposes. That's definitely going to be, you know, get the ball out quick. But I have nothing to say about what the offense can do, because I think Joe Brady has really, really – he's really been big, man. It's been nice to watch our offense not look like Ken Dorsey's offense. I don't know what else to say.
I'll tell you what I'm looking forward to. I'm hoping that they activate playoff Lenny for this game. I know everybody loves Ty Johnson. I love Ty Johnson, too. I'm not mad at Ty Johnson one bit. I think he's played – incredibly well. Like, he's exceeded every expectation I've had of him. However, for these games, for the stretch of games that we're going into, I need somebody with championship caliber, championship experience. I need somebody who knows what it's like in these moments when your back is against the wall and you have to do it. I want the best talent on the field, period. So for me, if I can get playoff Lenny kind of chipping at Parsons, if I could get James Cook running, but also let's run playoff Lenny on that goal line instead. And I like Josh. I love what Josh did. The one touchdown play, man, he basically decided, like, I'm getting this touchdown. I don't want to take any snaps away from Josh when it comes to giving him design runs. But I'm just saying, you know, the way our run game is going and what they're trying to do, they're really focusing on it. I really think Leonard Fournette can be an asset to this team, man. Last year was probably one of his worst seasons, but it was still statistically one of his best seasons receiving out of the backfield. Give me
that. And they had a lot of problems in Tampa, last year too. So I think that we need to activate playoff Lenny, because this is our playoffs. Like, we're basically in the playoffs right now. You said earlier 4 of 5. I honestly don't know that we can get in. If we win four or five, we need help. You know, I think we're in must win every week for the rest of the season. You know, and so I'm with you. Get the best talent out there. I'm curious, how do you feel about having four active running backs and just powering the ball, or even, you know, taking Latavius Murray out?
You know, I wouldn't be opposed to four running backs, but then you got to figure, because technically Reggie Gilliam's a running back and they use him in special teams and they use him in certain things. It's a numbers game at that point, because it's only 46 on game, or is it 48? 48 on game day, 46 on game day. You got to, you know, who are you going to have inactive? Are you going to take it from
Gabe Davis
receiving room?
Okay. I'm kidding.
No, I know. For everybody listening, that was 100% sarcasm. We will not ever say, it was a joke. but no, I would be good with it. It would just be depending on who they would keep inactive because of it, man. Like, you know what, before we get out of here too, I don't want to forget this. Dawson Knox came back this weekend too, and he had not a great game, but he had some moments that made me say, okay, well, I'm happy Dawson is back. But, man, I promise you, I would have – Kincaid, this has been Kincaid's worst game since Knox went out with the injury.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so, you know, but Kincaid had 3 receptions for 36 yards, you know, so I'll take that.
Timely, though. And that's one thing about Dawson Knox that I've always appreciated, is that Josh does trust him. Very, very much in the – you know, like he finds a spot. He always finds the spot for Josh and gets to the spot. Dalton Kincaid, short, you know, he didn't have a big game.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
But he had that 4th-and-1, you know, diving catch that he made. And then, you know what I'm saying? Like, that was, you know, that little sidearm that Josh threw to him on 4th down, you know, big pickup. So I want to see more Dalton Kincaid. You know, honestly, and no, again, I'm not, this is not Gabe Davis specific, but I wouldn't mind flexing Dawson Knox out into the, or Dalton Kincaid out into the slot, and then just, and having Dawson Knox as the traditional tight end, and, you know, Dalton Kincaid basically the wide receiver 3 at that point, right? I don't know. I think it's going to be fun, you know, getting Dawson Knox back in there and back healthy. But
I had Kincaid as the wide receiver 2, to be honest. Like, if you ask me how it should go, I think Diggs should get the most targets. Kincaid should get the next. Wherever else, however you want people to fall in, go for it. But I think it should be Diggs, Kincaid. You can go Gabe after that. That's fine. But the way Shakir has played the season over the last like 4 or 5 games, I'm almost like put Shakir on that list, you know, 3rd on that list. But no, I put Gabe 3.
I would put Shakir there because he's more of a possession receiver. You know, you can hit him on the underneath routes and over, you know, over the middle. Gabe Davis is a big play threat, you know, which again is not a number two. And I know we already talked about Gabe, but yeah, I'm with that. I could see Diggs, Dalton, everyone else, right? Everyone else at that point. You know, and I but again, actually, I would go James Cook 3. But hey,
and you wouldn't get an argument out of me.
He's looking too good in that passing game, man. But I'm curious, what do you think our defense, like, what's your – if you're Sean McDermott, what's your conversation with yourself going into this? What are you saying to yourself in the mirror?
Don't get fired. No, because honestly, because really, think about it. If that play at the end of the game Sunday night did not happen where he was offsides, if Tony was not offsides, the conversation this morning or yesterday, Monday morning, would have been Sean McDermott defense doesn't hold up for the Bills again. Josh Allen leaves the field with the lead, leaves with a loss. Like that's what the conversation would have been. And he would have been fired, or it would have been a more talk about it. You got that article from Ty Dunn. You got the Eagles game that we lost. You got, we lost to the Broncos. We lost to the Jets. We lost to the Patriots. We lost to the damn Patriots, bro. Mm. So it's like, so if we were, if that offsides didn't happen, the conversation right now would be so different. And everybody would be talking about that. So if I'm Sean McDermott, okay. Now, you want me to be a little more, I'll be direct about it. Okay, prevent defense, I can't play anymore. Let me figure out another way to play defense in the fourth quarter. That's the first thing I'm saying to myself. That's the first thing. Because for some reason, it seems like in the fourth quarter, we forget everything that we did first, second, and third quarter when we keep teams, you know, like we had them looking confused, man. And then the moment that the fourth quarter hits, it's like, okay, we're gonna play prevent defense and just stop you from getting close. And then what happens? Travis Kelce damn near breaks our heart with a lateral on the day that Frank died, man. When Frank died 20 years ago, 17, 19, however long the Music City Miracle was, we would have did it again yesterday. On the day that he died, Travis Kelce was gonna do that to us. Come on, man. Sean McDermott got to do, we got to, it's some things where you get it. It's like, okay, in the play, it's a play. And I get it. Like, some things are out of the coach's control because you're not on the field. Yes. But there's also, you start to see a bunch of patterns, man. Like, you start to see, like, okay, we have years of this stuff. We have years of seeing him. And then you blamed Leslie Frazier. Now he's gone. And the defense still does this in the fourth quarter. So, I don't know, man. I don't know. I like the defense. I like how they come out aggressive. I like that they're fast, they're flying, and I don't know.
I think I mean I can't even, I don't even have anything to say to that, man. It's the exact same sentiment. He coaches not to lose, and you gotta coach to win, and he's just, we talked about that yesterday, man. You can't yeah. Sunday. You just can't get so, like, scared, like timid. He's scared. And it's like the fourth quarter comes or the end of a half comes, and it's happened to our defense so many times, just getting cooked at the end of a half or at the end of the game. And it's almost like he's scared of making the wrong call. So he just goes with the safe call. Right. And what winds up happening a lot of these times is these teams are taking 10 yards, 10 yards, 15 yards, 7 yards, 8 yards, 10 yards, and they just walk down the field. And then if we do get the ball back, we have no time left because they just spent 5 minutes walking down the field against a prevent defense.
And it didn't happen yesterday, but then it normally happens to where we have to waste a timeout or two because something happens on defense where either something on offense to where we have to waste a timeout because we're going to end up having the play clock run out or just something dumb, man. And it's like, yo, coaching. But anyway, yeah. The Bills won, man. We're 7-6, and we're in that stretch to try and make the playoffs, man. Why don't you let everybody know where they can find you on your socials and stuff, and we'll get on out of here.
Hey, man, that's BanksFace21. That's BanksFace21 on everything. So look for me, find me, follow me. I'll follow you back. So go Bills. All right.
And he a good follow. He's not as active as like – I am, and as some are, but when he's on there and he gets at you. So go ahead and give him a follow and let's talk about it. But man, we got to get you back on before the season's over too. Just kind of review after everything's over, see how to play out, you know, how everything played out.
Yeah. We might be taking a trip to Miami, man. Let's talk about it. But, I love you, man. And, thanks for having me. And, you know, I love the show. I love the show, man. John, I'm John Banks, longtime listener, first time caller. But nah, man.
You got issues, dude.
I do. But yeah, man. Thanks for having me on for real. And go Bills. We did get the dub, big dubs. And we'll do it again on Sunday.
Yes, sir. It's gonna happen. We gonna beat them Cowboys down. I love Dallas though, so it won't be too much crap talking for me. I actually like the Cowboys, so we'll see how this week go, man. Yeah, no, it's gonna be a fun week for me. I feel like to watch that game for me, it's gonna be fun because I'm a fan of both teams. So, but all right, let's get on out of here, man. And y'all know how we do it over here with Buffalo Rumblings. It's your boy Jay Spencer King. You have been listening to the Code of Conduct. Y'all love each other, take care of each other, and live in peace. And as always, stay positive. Test negative. Go Bills.
Go Bills.
Code of Conduct.